Okay. There are a lot of parts of Judaism that, I guess you would call it, if you're doing Kiruv, you would want to emphasize first. And then there are certain parts of Judaism where if you're doing Kiruv, you just want to save till after the person is already bought in, right? When we talk about our experiences at a Pesach Seder and the tunes we grew up with and things like that, it's very nostalgic for us, and it's something that we sell very well as well. When you have kids showing off their Purim costumes and things like that, part of the Purim festivities and excitement, it's all very obviously, as Moreno Schefter keeps on reminding us, Purim is not a Jewish Halloween. It's not just the masquerade and everything else. It's a much more serious day, much more a different type of festive day. But still, that's something that people can relate to. For me, always, like the mitzvah that gets me most religiously enthralled, I guess you could say, is standing in the sukkah. On the first night of Sukkot, by the second night I'm usually sick, but at least on the first night of Sukkot, it has a certain experience that's very special. But when it comes to the mitzvah, to a mitzvah that is hard to connect with, that it's hard to relate to, and it's certainly hard to explain, is the mitzvah of Zechira Samach, which is of course the mitzvah of this Shabbos. It is the mitzvah of Zechira Samalek, or the mitzvah of Timcha Zechira Malek, which mitzvah of Mechia Samalek, which is seemingly related. Particularly the mitzvah of Zechira Samalek, though, is difficult to connect to Bizman Hazeh, because none of us ever met an Amaleki, an actual, genuine, real-life Amaleki. In our day and age, the perpetrators of anti-Semitism have not been Amalek. It's been Yishmael, it's been others. It hasn't really been Amalek, as far as we know. The many of the Darshanim, when they try to talk about the idea of Zechiras Amalek, they just shift the message entirely. They would say, no, we're not really remembering Amalek, we're remembering the idea that Amalek represents. And that's what we're trying to destroy, the idea of that Kosh Baruch was holy. The carrier that Kosh Baruch was not really running the world, everything was carrier, everything was mikra. And that's what we're really ultimately trying to destroy. The problem is that you can destroy as many ideas as you want, but if you go and ask your local posseg, did I fulfill the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek when I destroyed this idea? The answer is no. You have to actually destroy the nation. You have to kill out Amalek. And it's when Shaul left Agag alive, I'm sure that Shaul HaMelech rid himself of the ideas and philosophies of Amalek. Problem was, he didn't rid the world of the people of Amalek, and that and therefore we had a Haman because of that. We're supposed to actually get rid of the people, not just the ideas. And the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Sekuf Peites, clearly tells us that the purpose of the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is that v'nizaris ha'am l'sno oso achlo tishkach ha'mitzvah v'lo techlash sin aso v'techsor l'nefashos im orach hazman, that we have to hate Amalek enough in order that we shouldn't become lazy about this mitzvah. We shouldn't lose some of that sense of passion and hatred for Amalek over time, to inspire us not to let up in our battle to annihilate Amalek. That's what it's really all about. That over time, listen, we're very forgiving. So over time, you forgive, and it doesn't get you as excited anymore. So we remind ourselves over and over and over again, each and every year, to make sure that we to have this passionate hatred burning within us. In fact, the Psikta Rabbasi Parak Yudbei says, "Havu zuchurim lo limchos shemo mina olam." If you remember what Amalek did to us, so that we won't forget to follow through and destroy them. The problem is that even if I wanted to destroy them, I can't identify them. I don't know who they are. Leaving aside our Salvation's drasha about any nation that has the goal of the destruction of the Jewish people, of the genocide of the Jewish people, takes on the halachic status of Amalek, so it's a big chiddush. Rav Schefter often points out that Salvation did mean that lahalacha, lechumra, that held you weren't allowed to take reparations from the Germans, but it's a very big chiddush. Most people do not assume that way. So what does that mean? I'm remembering Amalek to destroy Amalek, but I can't even identify Amalek. So much so that, like, you know, people sometimes, you know, say things that are like, that aren't so well thought through, right? So people say, you know, the Muhammad going on in Eretz Yisrael after the terrible, terrible attack of Hamas, the terrible pogrom, that you just turn the whole place into a parking lot, wipe out all the men, women, and children. That, you're not allowed to do that. You're only allowed to do that to the extent that that's the way to win the war. But if you could win the war without doing that, then you're not allowed to. It's clear in the halacha, right? You're not allowed to just unnecessarily kill people unless they're a malik, because that's the necessity, that's the mitzvah. But they're not a malik, meaning Rav Lapiansky likes to quote a Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, where the Rambam says that the reason the Torah goes through the entire family of Esav and the whole lineage of Esav is to say, is to highlight this point that Amalek you have to destroy, men, women, children, everybody. Amalek you have to destroy everybody. But they could be the closest thing to Amalek. They could be the cousins of Amalek. They could be the brother of Amalek. They could be the closest. But not a single drop of extra bloodshed. If they're the closest thing to Amalek. Again, this is not a comment on what's going on. The Israeli army is probably being too careful in terms of, because ultimately we have to protect ourselves. But to the extent that something does not involve protecting ourselves, to the extent that it's not the way to win a war, so for, you know, as Rav Lapiansky pointed out, when people say things and just turn all the, kill all 2 million of them, turn all this into a parking, that's the Amalek within us talking. That's not coming from a good place in a person's neshama. So bottom line is, I don't know who Amalek is, and yet we have this mitzvah every year. So there is a fascinating Yalkut Shimoni. Yalkut Shimoni says that when Moshe Rabbeinu told us to remember Amalek, he was actually hinting to something else entirely. The Rabbi Pinchas Omer, Acher Abayim Shana, Rotsa Moshe Lomar Lehem Yisrael, Zuchurim Atem Masha Martem Hayesh Hashem Bekirbeinu Im Ayin. The Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of the 40 years, wanted to tell Kalizu, do you remember that which you said, where you questioned whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you? Elo Omer Moshe, Im Ani Omer Lehem Kach, Harei Ani Malbim Panayim Malbim Panim, Elo Chelek Lo Naba. If I were to give this Moshe to the Jewish people and say, Jewish people, do you remember, Klal Yisrael, do you remember you questioned whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you? Well, that would be terribly embarrassing to Klal Yisrael. And here I am after 40 years of leadership, and I'm pointing out this terrible flaw that they had, this very dark moment in their history, and I don't want to be Malbim Panim, because Malbim Panim ain't no chelik olam haba. It's a very bad thing to embarrass Klal Yisrael. Mashal ma davar doma, in case that wasn't clear, there's a mashal. L'melech sheilu pardes echa. You have a king who has an orchard. Va'kelev koshu b'pesach ha'pardes. U'mamit b'chol mashal b'pardes. And you have a dog tied to the opening, the entranceway of the pardes. And he's looking at everything in the pardes. Nichnas o'avo shel melech lignov min ha'pardes. So a friend of the king comes to steal from the pardes. V'shisabo ha'kelev v'kara b'gadav. So the dog attacks and tears the guy's clothing. Amra melech. If I go over to my friend and I ask him, what are you trespassing in my parties for? You know, what are you doing? Coming in and taking my stuff? It will be embarrassing to him. So instead what I'll say is, yeah, what a crazy dog I have. That dog tore your clothing. So instead I'll talk about what a nutty dog that went and tore your clothing. And then he'll right away realize what he had done. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, so I tell Klal Yisrael, remember what Amalek did to you? And then they'll realize, oh yeah, but Amalek is the dog. Amalek did that to us because we said, is there a God among us? Meaning, by remembering what Amalek did to us, it's not really about Amalek, it's about us. It's about what brought about Amalek. So the man is telling us, and it's not just a vart, that the main point of remembering Amalek isn't about Amalek. It's just the most clever way Moshe Rabbeinu can give us Musar about saying, Hayesh Hashem b'kirbeinu im ayin, without humiliating us. The problem is that Moshe's hesitation to be direct with us is a little bit difficult to understand, because He was a pretty direct person, you know. There's no shortage of times in the Torah that Moshe was very direct in his criticism of the Jewish people. At the beginning of the Sefer Devarim, when recounting the travels in the Midbar, right, Rashi tells us he was much more discreet. Right, when he describes the travels, he's really referring to the different Averos, and he did it in a more discreet kind of way. That was only because he was saying all of our rebellions at one time. So he doesn't want to go through a list of Avera after Avera after rebellion after terrible thing, one after the other. But he did proceed throughout the rest of Sefer Devarim to tell us of our individual sins and failures in a pretty direct way. So why is he more sensitive about reprimanding us for saying Hayesh Hashem Berkabeinu Im Ayin than he is for saying, I don't know, Eila Elohecha Yisrael? That was pretty bad. And Moshe Rabbeinu reprimands us pretty directly for that one. So there is another more famous mashal, also involving a dog, that relates to Amalek. Rashi tells us, Vayavah Amalek, some of Parsha Zulu Mikrazel Lomar, Tamil Ani Beinechem, Umezumun Lekol Tzarchechem, Vatem Omer Meyesh Hashem Bikrbeinu Imayim. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm constantly with you. I'm always here taking care of you. And you're saying, where's God? Chayechem Shakelev Bovin Oshay Cheska. So the dog is going to come and it's going to bite you. Vatem Tzorkim Elayim, then you're going to cry out to me, Vitedu Nechem Ani, and then you know exactly where I am. Mashal Adam Shekhar Ben Alek Seifo, like a man who's carrying his child on his shoulders, the Yatzel and Derek, and they're walking on the road. Haya Osa Ben Roa Chefetz Omer, the son sees something nice on the ground, and he says, Abba, Tol Chefetz Evetainli, can you give me that? Can you pick it up for me? Uno say no, and he gives it to him. Bechein Shnia, and I also want that toy, and I want that snack, and I want that ice cream cone. Bechein Shlishis, and it keeps on happening, and dad keeps on, you know, dipping into his wallet and buying stuff for the kid and taking care. And then they meet a guy. Also, Haben Reisa Es Abba, and he says, "Have you seen my father?" So the father looks up at the son and he says, "You don't know where I am?" He throws him off his shoulders. Then the dog comes and bites him. Put dirt at the end of that story. Right, so the dog comes and bites the son. The dog is never the good guy in the mashal, but okay, we'll leave that for a little time. There are good dogs, right? There's the Oketium in the idea, so there are good dogs. But in the mashal, there's, okay. So the violation of saying Hayesh Hashem Bikrbein is not just that we failed to recognize Hashem, but that it's even as Hashem was carrying us on his shoulders, even as he was bringing us to where we needed to be and he was taking care of our every need, even then, when he was treating us with more care and more attention than his other children, we still didn't see him. Amalek attacked us because they were jealous of the great honor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accorded us by performing all the miracles that he did for us on the way out of Mitzrayim. Hashem gave us all this kavod, all of these nisim, and we didn't notice it. But Amalek noticed it. We didn't know. Amalek noticed it. In fact, in the original version of that Maimon Chazal that Rashi quotes, Rashi often, when he quotes the Maimon Chazal, paraphrases the Maimon Chazal. So the original version of that Medrash Rabban, Shemos Rabban, in Chavav Beis, it says, Kach Omer Chodesh Baruch Yisrael, Ani Nasasi Eschem Al Anane Kavod, Atem Omer Mayesh Hashem B'Kneir. Hashem gave us such personalized attention. That's the greatest kavod. That's why they're called Anane HaKavod, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was giving us all this kavod, and we didn't recognize his presence as his clouds were protecting us, as he was giving us divine protection. So it could be that the obligation to remember Amalek is not only so that we can finish our mission and destroy them, which is certainly part of it, as the Rambam says, but also because we're supposed to dig a step deeper than that. We're supposed to go back a step further than that. We have to remember what brought Amalek on in the first place. And those pitfalls of not seeing the Yad Hashem, that's always relevant. Our lack of pride in our ongoing Hashkachas Hashem that we experienced is what brought Amalek. So when the Jewish people don't see Hashem as much as we should, when we don't realize how special we are, how Hashem lifts us up on his shoulders, because we're the apple of his eye. So we invite Amaleks to the world to remind us what it is exactly that they're so jealous of. Meaning the response should always be strengthening, or part of the response of it should always be strengthening emunah, strengthening our recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because it's the lack of recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that brought Amalek in the first place. And what made this Avera so embarrassing, more so than so many other Averas, what made Moshe Rabbeinu so hesitant to address this Avera directly, is that it wasn't just a sin, it wasn't just a rebellion, it was degrading. We degraded ourselves. We lost any sense of Hashem's presence and Hashem's pride in the fact that Hashem chose us, in our pride, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us. Last week we spoke a little bit about the proper way to celebrate Purim this year and how we should lean into the mitzvah sayom and things like that. So Judah Diamond heard the recording and he said, you should write it up. So I wrote it up. And he said, okay, now I want to publicize it in the program. So I said, no way, I don't do that. I don't make public proclamations unless it's from one of our senior yeshiva. If our chapter of Willard Petorsky, you know, someone like that says, good, this should be sent out, I'm happy to send it out. So he said, okay, I'll have our chapter read it over. So our chapter read it over, and he made a number of changes. You may have noticed, if you saw the total of these. He made a number of changes. So one change that he made was that, it was interesting, he said, that we shouldn't dress up as IDF soldiers in Ireland, which is an interesting sensitivity I didn't think of. Not because what people think we need to dress up because it's a costume to you. Here there are our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael have children who are putting their lives on the line with this uniform and for us just to cut. Not because of that sensitivity. I would think most Israeli soldiers would probably like that. I think they would like if all of the American children dressed up as IDF soldiers to show who our heroes are. Rav Shapter thought, shouldn't do it because in America we're surrounded by Gaidi, and they're not going to know that we don't love war and that we're not. Meaning it will make us look like a bunch of warmongers that we're interested in war and all we like to do is. So it's not gonna land properly on the people around us. Meaning it's gonna. So, but in Eretz Yisrael, of course they should and whatever. Okay, that was one change. That was just Erech Haka. One of the other changes that he made was he also said the dancing should be slower. Okay, that was interesting. Third change that he made was that he kept on adding the word which I hadn't had in the original draft, emunah. I said, Titus Esther is a Titus that should be a Titus of Simcha in the confidence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Shomea Tefillah. And he wrote, an emunah. Meaning, it's a day of emunah. It's a day where we build our emunah. Where we're constantly, meaning the whole idea is that we know that when we reach out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there listening, and we strengthen our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That Amalek is a result of a lack of a direct relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, the Rabbanan holidays in general tend to be holidays of Jewish pride. That, you know, we don't only recall ancient events, but we remind ourselves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stop performing miracles even when we're in galus. We instill in ourselves and our children a sense of great pride in who we are. And that pride comes from the fact that we are an Amun. It's part of that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special relationship with us. Someone just sent me, it's a long article, it's a fascinating article that Rabbi Meir Soloveitchik wrote about, basically about the Jewish people and the miracle of Jewish survival and the anti-Semitism and where it comes from and where it stems from in different places throughout history. And basically one of the themes that comes through is this sense that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, some have recognized it and acknowledged it, some have recognized it and despised it, but the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a very special relationship with us. I gave a series of shiurim, I think it was for Los Angeles, for the Israel Central City community about different rabbinic leaders. I think it was about Rebbeim and Talmidim. I think that was one year I gave a series of Rebbeim and Talmidim. So if I had to ask you, who's the most influential rabbinic figure in 20th century America? Most influential rabbinic figure in 20th century America? So it depends who you are, right? Meaning if you're a Lubavitcher, you'll say Lubavitcher Rebbe. If you're from Lakewood, you say obviously Rav Aaron Kotler. If you're from our yeshiva, you say Rav Soloveitchik. If you're Yeshiva Shigai, he'll say either of our color or Mesh Feinstein, right? Meaning there are different, I would argue the most influential person in 20th century Orthodox life in America was a person who, as far as I know, never set foot in America. The altar of Slobodka, Nelson Tzvi. He was the primary influence on the lives of Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Rudeman, Rav David Leibowitz, Rav Huttner, and many, many others. He single-handedly saved many of them from pursuing a very different path in life when that danger was real, that they were going to pursue something else. So how do you do, what was his primary message? What was his, he had a lot of messages, and he understood each Talmud differently, which was also unique. And he had a lot of methods in Chinuch that probably wouldn't fly nowadays. But what was his primary message? His message was that of God the Sahara, was that we're chashuv and that we're important. The yeshiva had troubles making ends meet. But nevertheless, in Slobodka, there was a tailor on staff. In case, in Slobodka, if there's a Ben Torah, there's a Ben Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, you can't walk around with a jacket. It's missing a button. It wasn't always food, but there was a tailor on staff. You had to be a Ben Adam. You had to be someone who walks around with a certain amount of pride. And by building up that pride and what it means to be an Eved Hashem, that's the Avoda. That's the avoda that allows us to avoid amalek. So our avoda, when we call amalek, is to really hold our heads up high, realize how great it is to be a Jew, so that the likes of amalek won't be the ones that are called upon to remind us of how great it is to be a Jew. So it's always difficult to like precisely identify our the source of our simcha and the nature of our simcha. And what exactly it is that we're celebrating. Maybe one element to identify is this particular element. That we experience a sense of simcha, which simcha is always a sense of lefnei Hashem, and a sense of constant recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in our lives, of emuna, and we should make sure that today in particular, Tainus Esther, and really I think a special opportunity that we have, that we normally Tainus Esther goes right up to Purim, and they're so connected that you're fasting up until Nikkur Megillah. Here we have this long, long lead-in that gives an opportunity over a Shabbos and over a few days to really experience a profound elevation in our emunah. Okay. All right, so let's finish up. Nothing.